Hello and welcome to Podiatrics, Pediatric Podcasts. So today I'm going to be talking to you about a clinical situation, clinical question that was asked to me today in Pediatric Renal Clinic. And the question was, why do we use diuretics in the management of nephrogenic diabetes insipidus? So to go back to our podcast on nephrogenic diabetes insipidus, we're talking like two main types of diabetes insipidus, where with cranial diabetes insipidus, this is a problem with production or secretion of antidiuretic hormone. In nephrogenic diabetes insipidus is a lack of or resistance to the effects of antidiuretic hormone. So, and we're going to talk about that today. So antidiuretic hormone is produced by the paraventricular and supraoptic nuclei of the hypothalamus. So it's produced by the hypothalamus and it's secreted by your posterior pituitary gland. And it targets these V2 receptors in the collecting duct of your kidney. So I'm going to talk to you today about some of the therapeutic options that are out there for managing nephrogenic diabetes insipidus. So we know that the first thing I'm going to talk about is a Western diet. So a Western diet has basically got about 800 milliosmoles per day, okay? And if we have got a urine osmolality of 800, which is a normal urine osmolality, it would take 1 litre of fluid to get rid of that load, to that osmolar load. If you have a urine osmolality of 100, so if you have, remember, osmolality measure the concentration of urine, very dilute urine as you get in nephrogenic diabetes insipidus, where you produce large quantities of dilute urine, that would require you to have 8 litres of fluid to excrete that load. So therefore, limiting the osmolar content of your diet is really important. We know that salt is very osmotically active. 1 gram of salt in your diet increases your urine output by 340 mils if you've got this urine osmolality of 100. So in a very roundabout way, what I'm trying to say is your urine osmolality, because you've got very dilute urine in diabetes insipidus, urine osmolality is low. So if we compare someone with a urine osmolality of 800 and a urine osmolality of 100, that means that you have to, rather than 1 litre of fluid drunk per day to excrete that load, it's then 8 litres. So actually what this does by having a low sodium diet means that you don't produce as much urine, because remember, 1 gram of sodium increases your urine output by 340 mil. We've also got this concept with diuretics. This is the paradox I'm going to talk about in today's podcast. So there's this paradox in nephrogenic diabetes insipidus of giving diuretics to a patient with polyuria. So that doesn't really make any sense, does it? And we'll delve into why we do that. So the first thing is the main class of diuretics that are used are thiazide diuretics. And thiazides block your sodium chloride cotransporter in your distal convoluted tubule. This is a cotransporter that involves sodium and chloride. Okay. So what happens, the biological effects, normally 10% of your filtered sodium is reabsorbed in your distal tubule. Okay. Thiazide diuretics lead to loss of sodium and water because you don't get sodium reabsorption, therefore you don't get water reabsorption, okay? And you get increased calcium reabsorption, okay, because of your sodium-calcium transporter. So that means that patients that are on thiazide diuretics can have hypercalcemia. So why is this important? Well, if you lose your sodium and your water, what happens is you have a decreased intravascular volume. You lose water and you lose sodium into the urine and out of the blood. That stimulates your renin-angiotensin aldosterone system, okay? That has many important biological effects. Your renin-angiotensin aldosterone system leads to renin secretion, angiotensin 1 being converted to angiotensin 2, and then the secretion of aldosterone that leads in your collecting duct to water reabsorption, okay? So by stimulating your RAS system, there's a number of clinically important things that happen, okay? Okay. And one of the things that I would say is the key thing that you need to think about is because you lose sodium and water, you actually force your proximal convoluted tubule, okay, which is your other functioning tubule, to reabsorb sodium. And we'll talk about that later. So the net effect of how diuretics cause in nephrogenic diabetes insipidus cause actually your urine output to go down is because the increased sodium and water loss forces your proximal convoluted tubule to reabsorb water and reabsorb sodium. Remember that you've got an afferent and an efferent arteriole. Well, the afferent arteriole leads to the glomerulus and the efferent arteriole moves away. And that vasoconstriction of the afferent arteriole leads to less blood going to the glomerulus. So vasoconstriction decreases your GFR, your glomerular filtration rate. Your efferent arteriole leads away from the glomerulus. And therefore your vasoconstriction of your efferent arteriole keeps more blood in the glomerulus and prevents it from escaping. So you get better glomerular filtration. Okay. So if we talk about the kidney for a second and we look at one of the medications, you can use something like indomethacin for nephrogenic diabetes insipidus. Indomethacin is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug that inhibits prostaglandins. Prostaglandins are the major determining factor of vasodilation of your afferent arteriole, so leading to the glomerulus. If you inhibit prostaglandin production, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs cause afferent vasoconstriction and reduce your glomerular filtration rate. So all of these things, so indomethacin causes afferent vasoconstriction. We said afferent is the arteriole that leads to the glomerulus. So if you get constriction of your afferent, that leads to a reduced glomerular filtration rate. And the other thing we said is we get, because of the series of things with thiazides that impact on your distal convoluted tubule, that leads to more water and sodium reabsorption being absorbed in the proximal tubule that is the main site of filtration reabsorption. Okay, 70% of your filtrate is reabsorbed in the proximal convoluted tubule. So this is tricking your body into blocking the effect of the distal convoluted tubule and therefore potentiating the effect of the proximal convoluted tubule, and your urine production decreases. Amiloride is another diuretic that can be used, and this blocks your epithelium sodium channel, ENaC. This decreases sodium reabsorption and increases urine osmolality, which is what we want, isn't it? Very dilute urine in nephrogenic diabetes insipidus. Amiloride is really good for lithium-induced diabetes insipidus, that, remember, is the main cause of nephrogenic diabetes insipidus, as your epithelial sodium channel, your ENaC, is how lithium enters the cell. So by blocking that with amiloride, that could be very good in lithium-induced diabetes insipidus. And indomethacin, we've talked about this again, blocks prostaglandins. Prostaglandins vasodilate your afferent arteriole. So if you block prostaglandins, you get vasoconstriction of your afferent arteriole. Less blood goes into the glomerulus because you've got vasoconstriction of the arteriole leading to the glomerulus. And that decreases glomerular filtration. So in conclusion, paradoxically, how do diuretics work if you give it to a patient with polyuria, such as those with nephrogenic diabetes insipidus? They block the sodium chloride co-transporter in the distal convoluted tubule. By doing this, it leads to increased sodium and water loss that decreases your intravascular volume. It stimulates your renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system that is very, very important. And then the next thing that can happen is when you stimulate that, this leads to more water and sodium reabsorption in your proximal convoluted tubule that is functioning and not blocked by the effects of thiazodiuretics. Remember that amiloride is really good for lithium-induced diabetes insipidus because your epithelial sodium channel is how lithium enters the cell. And indomethacin works by inhibiting prostaglandin synthesis. Prostaglandins vasodilate your afferent arteriole, so therefore you get vasoconstriction of your afferent arteriole, decreases your glomerular filtration, less urine production in nephrogenic diabetes insipidus, and therefore deals with the polyuria. Thank you very much for listening.